Christians are called to walk in freedom. It's one of the wonderful outcomes of serving Christ. But tragically, because of our sinful nature, we often feel the seductive appeal of wickedness. And unless we defy its gravitational pull, we'll eventually yield to sinful behavior. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another message in his brand new teaching series called Living by Grace. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, where Paul articulates our ultimate goal, to abstain from sin so we don't become a slave to it. Chuck begins with prayer.
Dear Father, we are able to diagnose and treat, but only you are able to cure and heal. We're able to point to the problem. You were able to solve the problem. And therefore, we call upon you in this threatening time when so many are suffering. And some are even dying from this disease. We pray that you will enable those in authority, those who are wise in the medical field, and beyond that, those who know this particular issue, and give wisdom as they work together to come to a solution that will bring relief, hope, a cure and healing. Give peace to those who care about their families, and remind us, Lord, that you are the one who directs our steps. So we rely on you for this, and our need is great. Therefore, our reliance is deep and from a heart that cries out for help. We commit to you, our Father, all who suffer today. I have friends, we have friends, even family members who are hurting, who are troubled, who are living with undiagnosed situations, and others who are dealing with that which is very serious. We pray that you would give strength, encouragement, relief, even healing. We ask you, Lord, to meet our needs today as we look into these words here in Romans 6. Give us an understanding so we will not ever take advantage of and abuse your grace. Guide us, we pray, into the truth, for your word is the lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We give our gifts today that your word might go forth and meet the needs of others outside our ranks, beyond our walls, into our community and beyond. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Romans with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Whose Slave Are You?
Whose slave are you? You say, well, I'm not a slave. I'm a free citizen of this country. I don't live like a slave. Wait a minute. Let me probe a little as I look into your eyes. How about your work? Are you a slave to your work? Many a person works too many hours a week, or works right through the weekends, rarely takes a break, sneers at vacation and the thought of taking time off. No time for the family. It's all about work. How about to things? It's called materialism. Enslaved to possessions. It's like nothing is ever enough, a lack of contentment. Always need more, buying more, acquiring more. How about other people? You give too much attention and credit to what another person's opinion is. You run a little scared of their criticism. Does it derail you when they say things against you? Interesting words from Paul in Galatians. Says in chapter 1, verse 10, if I were still a slave of people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't be enslaved to people at the same time serve Christ. Second question, has Christ really set you free? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not, you have been set free. Christ has come. You once were enslaved to the old lifestyle and all the habits that went with it. When you came to Christ, He broke the bonds of that slavery. You served your master, the devil himself, whether you knew it or not. He dominated your world. That slavery ended when you came to Christ. So you're really free. Do you even know what being free means? Are you afraid of it? When you hear words about being freed from the power of sin, does that give you pause? Maybe you were reared under the thumb of a legalist, and you were under the demands and the constant requirements of you must do this, you must keep that list, you must fulfill these do's and don'ts that I tell you are required for you to be pleasing to God. You're not set free when you live like that. Now, on the other hand, there are those who live so freely, there are no restraints. If I'm free, nobody's going to tell me what to do or what not to do. I have no concern about what anybody says or anybody thinks, ever. I'm free. When that occurs, you're not observing grace. You're abusing grace. Maybe you've never thought of it that way before. Grace comes to free us, but not to do as we please. We are freed from ourselves so that we can please Christ. And when you follow Christ, it's a narrow way. It's a walk of obedience. Grace was never meant to free you to sin all you please. That's the whole point of the latter half of Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, since God's grace has set us free, verse 15, does that mean we just go right on sinning as we please? And he answers that with, of course not. That strong emotional answer. That is an amazing grace. That's abusing grace. And with that in mind, he then takes off with some explanation of what this is all about. Paul immediately begins with another question in verse 16. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? It makes sense, doesn't it? You choose to obey this, you become the slave of this. I choose to obey Christ. Let me add this. I don't have to choose that. In fact, I'm free to make another choice. As I said earlier, I can choose to please myself. I can choose to go my own way. That's what he means. He said, don't you realize you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to a sinful lifestyle, which leads to a death-like existence. There's no satisfaction in it. It's like living death. It's a horrible way to live. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. And now he adds this, looking back to when we were lost. Once, he says, you were slaves of sin, but not now. Now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching which we have given you. Now you are free from that slavery to sin. Let me get specific. Let's say in your lost condition, you had a real anger problem, and you were on occasion known for your short temper, and you would lash out. Often people with that kind of rage or anger hold grudges and have difficulty forgiving others. And in your lost condition, you had no power to change that. You were enslaved to that response toward others. You cultivated the habit of losing your cool, of flashing out, of holding grudges, and your response was invariably, I'm not forgiving him. And your plan was, when you could, to retaliate, to get even. You were enslaved to that way of life. But now, verse 18 states, you are free from that slavery. You don't have to choose that. Now let me add, you can. Why would I say that? Well, verse 19, because of the weakness of your human nature. You see, understand this. Even though we come to the cross in absolute faith and trust in Christ, our old nature remains at work within us. Hate to disappoint you, but it's the same old nature you had when you were lost. And it loved being in charge of your life because you had no Holy Spirit power within you to fight it. You gave in. But now that you have the Spirit of God, you don't have to give in, but it's still there. If you had a temper before you were saved, chances are good you still have a temper, but it's under restraint. Like the great song says, praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. And the last verse, it's almost like a tongue twister. Listen closely. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now, nor could be, soon shall be our own. What's the songwriter saying? As long as you're on this earth, you long to be in heaven. Then when we are there, we are where we would be. We would love to be there. But we're not there yet. We're still on this earth. Furthermore, there are things that go on in our lives that we regret. Then we will no longer regret because we will do what we would be. We will be what we would, but not right now. Why? Because of our human nature. Grace may be amazing, but it doesn't erase an old nature. The old sin nature is there to strike whenever given the opportunity. You know when that is? When you choose. When you choose to let it go. It may be lust. It may be greed. Maybe selfishness. or that anger I referred to. It may be a substance, could be drugs, could be a liquor, strong drink. Before, you couldn't restrain, and before you knew it, you became addicted to it. And you were caught up in it. You covered up for it. You didn't admit it. You kept it a secret as long as you could. You may have lost your job because of it, or lost friends or family, but there it was. It controlled you. Then you came to Christ. Well, hold on here. You don't suddenly lose the addiction. You gain a power you didn't have before Christ. So now you have the power to break the addiction, which you didn't have before. Now you care about that enough to do something about it. I'll come back to that in a moment. Go back to verse 19. I want to show you the contrast here, because he's going somewhere with this. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, this is when we were lost, previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness. Please observe, which led ever deeper into sin. Stay with that. When you were lost, if you were mean-spirited, you could be really mean. When you got deeper into your meanness, you could be vicious. And your treatment of others could be brutal. Because after all, your lifestyle was impurity and lawlessness. That's the way it was previously. You had no power to stop it. That's the way you lived your life. You didn't like it necessarily, but you couldn't stop it. Look closely. It led ever deeper into sin. Here's the way one man described it. The downward cycle of sin moves from a problem to a faulty, sinful response, thereby causing an additional complicating problem, which is then met by an additional sinful response. Get the downward trend from one to another. Sinful habits are hard to break, but if they are not broken, they will bind the person ever more tightly until he is or she is held fast by the ropes of his own sin. You know what? That's not only a good statement, that's a scripture. Proverbs 5:22, check it for yourself, where it describes a person as being held by the cords, by the ropes of his own sins. They get tighter and tighter and tighter. You know what you do? You rationalize by saying, well, nobody's perfect. Or you blame. If it hadn't been for him or for her, I wouldn't be like this. Anna Russell years ago put together a song that says it best. Listen to these words and see if you don't see what I mean. She wrote, I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed to find out why I killed the cat and blacked my husband's eyes. He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and this is what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in a trunk, so it follows naturally that I'm always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that's why I suffer now from kleptomania. When I was three, I felt ambivalence toward my brothers, so it follows naturally I poison all my lovers. But I'm happy now that I've learned the lesson this has taught, that everything I do that's wrong is someone else's fault. You got it. You hear the chords of sin? It just gets worse and worse. And before long, it's your mother, it's your dad, it's your uncle, it's your boss, it's your coach, it's your wife, it's your husband, and then it's your son, that's a good one, your daughter, it's this neighbor. No, it's you. No one else makes your choices. No one else makes mine. No one. Not a person on earth. Which brings me to a very good word we rarely use when we're convicted. I am responsible. I'm responsible for the actions I take. And you know, when I realize I am, when I do something about it. If I hurt someone, I seek a way to make things right. Not because I'm good. I've got this old nature that wants to hold a grudge. I want to blame them. But when the Spirit of God takes over and brings His self-control into my life, I want to make things right. I got a very moving call some time ago from a man who had really wounded me years past. Nothing had been done or said. I lived with the wound. I forgave him, going on with my life. The call came from him. I remember the voice on the phone. He said, "Could we meet? I have something very important I want to go over with you." I said, "Absolutely." So it wasn't long. It was really only hours, and we met. And we sat down, and he sat there, and he said to me, I am an alcoholic, and I have been for quite some time. I want to ask your forgiveness. And then he named some things. Things he had said, things he had done, and I called him by name, and I said, "Oh, you need to know that I forgave you shortly after all that happened." He's, "No, right now, I want you to tell me, just assure me." He was working through the steps to gain sobriety out of a desperate, he had lost everything, by the way, everything. And in the humiliation and the loss and the brokenness of the cords of his sins, he had come to the place where he realized, "I've got to make it right." And he said, I didn't see his list, but he said, "You named the number I was on his list." He asked me how to get a hold of someone he wanted to reach next. And there were others and still others and others and others. Let me tell you, he's doing the right thing. He's doing the hard thing. You don't do that in the flesh. That doesn't come from your old sin nature. The Spirit of God is working within him. And even though he wept when I assured him of my forgiveness, and we had an embrace as we finished, it was not a long conversation, but it was deep, meaningful. He went one way and I went another, and I felt great. I felt great for him, and I felt great myself, knowing that it's all resolved, all taken care of, and he's going to do that with one after another, after another, after another. Let me tell you something. If you have a list of people that you have hurt, and you know you have hurt them, you have wounded them, you gain nothing by going to your grave with that list. You make it right.
This is Insight for Living. We're midway through a message from Chuck Swindoll called "Whose Slave Are You?" It's message number 4 in a brand new 7-part teaching series called "Living by Grace." To go deeper in your studies on this engaging series or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, some of our listeners enjoy owning a physical copy of Chuck's teaching. If that's you, all 7 messages are recorded and they're available to purchase. You can find all the details for ordering the programs at insight.org/store. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Some people have told us they consider Insight for Living as their daily oasis. It's a place where they hear about and feel God's grace. That's because grace is a major theme in the Christian walk, and it's one that Chuck revisits over and over again. Today, I want to draw your attention to a life-giving resource from Insight for Living. It's a daily devotional filled with 365 glimpses of hope and grace. Chuck titled this book, Wisdom for the Way. Some of us find ourselves reaching for our mobile device first thing in the morning. We often check our email and scroll through the news. Well, this book might provide a better start for you, because in just a few minutes you can read uplifting words to fill your mind with God's wisdom. To purchase a copy of the devotional from Chuck called Wisdom on the Way, go to insight.org/store. Then bear in mind it's not the sale of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry. Insight for Living is fully supported by grateful listeners like you. We invite you to join us in our mission to reach North America and beyond with these daily Bible teaching programs. To give a contribution today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. Why would we choose to be slaves to sin? I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to hear Chuck Swindoll's biblical answer next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Whose Slave Are You?, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.